Now, Eugene, perhaps you can help us frame the context of this case. Why is there a differentiated treatment for offenders in criminal breach of trust in the form of Penal Code 4648 and 409? It's really, wow, a bit puzzling. So could you just enlighten us?
Okay, well, the whole crime here is converting somebody else's money to your own use. Mm. And you are entrusted with that money. So as to the degree of punishment you receive would be how much trust is deposed on you. If you're an ordinary person, a friend just asks you to hold some money for him, you're in a very different situation from someone who runs a charity or runs a company where your position is a lot more serious and there's a lot more trust which members of the public put on you, not just one person. So that is why the more trust, the higher the position you are, the more degree of trust is reposed in you. And when you breach that trust, then naturally the sentence would have to be higher.
Now, why did this ruling expose a gap in our legislation?
Well, for many years, people were of the view that the definition of agent in Section 409 of the Penal Code was wide enough to encapsulate company directors. It was widely held that a company director was an agent of the company and therefore came under this definition. But this judgment has shown that a proper analysis of agent, one must be an agent in his course of business, meaning agent in the course of business, and not just a legal relationship of agency.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Tharasingam, do you think the sentences meted out to the City Harvest Church leaders are too low?
Well, I think you need to look at it this way. First, the amount of money involved is a lot. It is $50 million. Mm. So the gut instinct is to say that, look, they got sentences of between 3 to 7 years, and that is way too low where $50 million is involved. But I think what one must objectively look at what went through the minds of these people when they did the act complained of. Mm. The court has held, based on the evidence, that they genuinely thought that they were doing something in furtherance of the objective of the church. Mm. And they did not, at least the evidence shows, they did not enrich themselves. And so because of these motivations, they got a much lower sentence as compared to someone who maliciously misappropriates $50 million to his own pocket. So that is something that needs to be considered all in.
Now, Home Affairs and Law Minister K. Shanmugam has said there's a lacuna, a gap in the law. Now, why did this gap not come up in earlier cases?
Well, I suppose there is a case decided in the 1970s where the judges in that case, based on arguments presented to those judges, made a finding that the term agent in Section 409 of the Penal Code would include a company director. And since then, lawyers and accused persons and prosecutors have not taken issue with that decision until this case, when the lawyers asked for the section to be reinterpreted. The lawyers for Kong Hee and the other accused persons put forward strong legal arguments as to why the judge in the 1970s had got it wrong. And the correct interpretation should be that agents do not include directors of companies. And the Court of Appeal, this time hearing the current arguments, were persuaded that Kong Hee's lawyers were correct and that the law had been wrongly interpreted in the 1970s.
So are we talking about a different interpretation of the law, or do we need to change the law altogether?
Yes, there is a difference in the manner in which the judges in the 70s interpreted the section and the manner in which this current Court of Appeal has interpreted the section. Arising out of the difference in interpretation, it would definitely they would definitely need an amendment to the law, because it just doesn't make common sense. It doesn't make sense that a director of a company can only be charged with simple criminal breach of trust with the lower penalty, as opposed to a mere employee who faces a much stiffer sentence if he commits criminal breach of trust.
We have been asking for your thoughts to the question, Do you think the law should hold those in power to greater or equal responsibility to ordinary employees in cases of criminal breach of trust? I do believe we have someone who posted back to us.
Thank you, Esmeralda. She posted in that she thinks the law exists for a reason, and from time to time, lawmakers should review archaic laws or laws that allow certain groups of criminals to get away with a lower sentence.
So, Eugene, what do you think of this public outcry to the recent case, the City Harvest Group?
Well, first, in relation to Esmeralda's question or comment, she's right in that the law has to be reviewed from time to time. Mm-hmm. First, to make sure that the sections are not archaic and are applicable in today's day and age. And second, as time evolves, society's values evolve as well. And so the law has to keep pace with that involvement. As for the public outcry in this case, I think there needs to be sometimes a little bit better understanding of what happened in this case. In this case, unfortunately, the law, Section 409, was not updated. Judges, or rather the lawyers, took a view that the Section 409 had in the past was wide enough to catch a director, but apparently that's not so. Quite apart from the law itself, I think there needs to be better understanding that there is a difference in a case where someone steals $50 million to line his own pockets, and where, it, like in the City Harvest case, it's a question really of a technical breach in that they had used the money for another project wrongfully. It was not a situation where someone had taken the $50 million and put it in his own pocket. And therefore, that is something that needs to be considered when we think about the sentence imposed.
But could or should the law have been updated earlier?
Well, it's always easy to say things in hindsight.
Hindsight, 2020.
Exactly. Hindsight is always 2020. Mm-hmm. So there are many, many sections in the Penal Code as well in so many other legislation, pieces of legislation. So it's sometimes difficult to keep appraised of these sections. And it's only when a case like this comes up that the law gets tested.
And what are some of the high-profile CBT cases in the last 40 years, perhaps?
Well, some of the high-profile ones would include one Teo Cheng Kiat, who worked for the... He was an employee of SIA. He had kept staff claims for himself over many years, over a period of 15 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. The total quantum in that case came up to... He had actually pocketed $35 million.
Right.
And he was sentenced to 24 years imprisonment. Another notorious case was that of Chia Tek Ling. He worked for Asia Pacific Breweries.
Right.
He managed to cheat banks into handing him $117 million, which I think he promptly gambled away. And he was sentenced to 42 years imprisonment. And perhaps one more I can speak about in more recent times, that of Yang Yin. Yang Yin was the Chinese national who had befriended an elderly lady in Singapore.
The tour guide.
That's correct, the Chinese tour guide. He had taken her into his confidence. She placed a lot of trust in him. And he ended up cheating her of at least $1.1 million that we know of and were able to prove. And he was imprisoned to a term of 9 years. A high sentence for $1.1 million, but because she was such a vulnerable victim who had placed such a lot of trust in him. So I think in that case, the sentence definitely did reflect the egregious factors present.
So, I mean, on the topic of trust then, I mean, do you think then public trust and the propensity to give to charity would increase if we knew that key office holders of charities are subject to harsher penalties when they, you know, breach that very trust?
Yes, I think that is very important, and that's why the section is called Criminal Breach of Trust. As an office holder, especially someone who collects money from the public for a particular charitable purpose, there is a lot of trust and a lot people expect a lot from you as a key office holder to safeguard that money and ensure that that money is applied to a proper purpose. So where you breach that trust, where you choose to enrich yourself in blatant disregard of the people who have entrusted you with their money, I think the price that you have to pay should be very high.
What amendments are possible?
Well, I think what would probably be, have to be amended in this case would be Section 409 itself. Yeah. So instead of limiting it to agents and public servants, bankers, merchants, I think it'd be quite easy to amend it to specify someone, a key office holder in a charity, or a director of a company, to make specific, to list out specific office holders who will now be subject to this section, rather than the current situation where you interpret whether you're an agent in the course of business or not. Mm. So to actually spell out who are these people who are going to be subject to Section 409 in greater detail.
What would these amendments mean for company directors and leaders of charities, though?
Well, what it would mean is that if they commit criminal breach of trust, mm-hmm. they would, and I would say rightfully, mm-hmm. face a much longer period of imprisonment than a normal person or a normal employee, because the degree of trust is different.
So back to the case of the CHC, any possibility of further appeal, or is this sentencing final?
No, this case is final. There is a principle of finality in the Singapore courts. Mm-hmm. It has reached the highest level. This is a question of law or public interest, which was posed before a court of five judges, and they have decided, and the legal process ends.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Teresingham. There's Eugene Teresingham, criminal defence lawyer, to help us understand the different penal codes, 406, 408 and 409. It has been enlightening. We hope you'll come back again and talk more. I'm sure there'll be other situations.
More opportunities for us to look into the law.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. It was a pleasure being here.